From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to,
period.
Short, sweet, and to-the-point episodes from board-certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
NPTE StudyCast,
the number one NPTE podcast
in the world.
Find a setting that you like. During PT school, you've gone through 3, 4, or 5, however many different clinicals in different settings. Really reflect on those and see what interests you. Don't take a job because it pays more than this job. You're going to be miserable in a year. You're going to be looking for something else. You're going to be complaining. And then that affects your personal and your professional growth.
Headed back to where it all started in this episode, Marymount University, where I graduated from for PT school. Got to talk to some professors, but not necessarily in the PT program. Jennifer Tripkin in episode 1, and the team from another podcast that we helped start, The Slow Road to Better, an inside look at what it's like to be living post-stroke or post-traumatic brain injury. Along with bringing on Adam Meekins and Eric Mera onto the show, rounded out for a pretty good night, plus we followed it up with a happy hour, of course. So take a listen to this program. First round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment that you need to apply it with your patients. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in Arlington, Northern Virginia tonight. Back home right now, where I actually started my PT career as a student, as a young Padawan physical therapist, Marymount University in Arlington, Virginia. Next guest, we got a couple physios, one from across the pond, I'm not even sure if they say that over there, and one from across the country, Adam Meekins and Eric Mera. Come on up here. So I mentioned physical therapy podcast, want to welcome Adam Meekins to the show. Adam has the NAF Physio Podcast.
That's it.
Adam, what does NAF stand for?
I'm allowed to say the...
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, not another fucking physio podcast.
Yeah. So I reached out to actually Eric first when I decided to launch my podcast. I figured, hey,
oh, that's good.
Let's find people who already have big social media followings and their own podcasts, and let's ride on their coattails. And that's what Eric was for. So thank you guys for taking a flyer on me. Eric was like episode 4
of
the show, pretty early. And then Adam was like, I don't know, 20 or something like that. So I appreciate especially Adam because not another fucking physio podcast. When someone reaches out and says, can you be on my another fucking physio podcast? You're probably like, ugh, another one of these blokes. I'm sure that's great. But thank you guys for taking a flyer. You guys are in town teaching a course together, and you do this around the world. Talk about that just a little bit. Well, you're in the middle of it, right? Today was day 1, tomorrow's day 2, and you guys are continuing for the next couple weeks here in the States, right? But you've done this in Europe?
Just a week.
Just a week.
Week.
Okay.
Yeah. We'd kill each other.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure, sure. What's describe the course.
Well, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's something you shouldn't go to. Stay away from as long as you can. I'm actually pretty fucked now because it's about 1 o'clock in the morning back in London.
Ooh.
So I'm just about hanging in there. I've been doing a whole day teaching. I've been ranting and raving about lots of shit. So my day is basically around the shoulder. And yeah, we talk a little bit about shoulders, but I just basically slag off manual therapy.
I don't even know what slag off means. I gotta go to Urban Dictionary, but I'll get it.
You don't know what slag off means?
I'm pretty sure I know what it means. Yeah, yeah. Where do you come in, Eric? What do you bring to the show?
So my portion of the course is day 2 for right now, and that's just on the knee. So I talk a little bit of science, how science integrates with medicine. I shoot off on dynamical systems theory because I like mathematics and how that plays in, and then a bunch of biomechanics. And then after the entire room is asleep, we go on to talk about clinical application.
That's cool. All right. So, we mentioned Adam's podcast. You've got several, or you've
20 or so.
20 or so. As I said, we probably launched one while you were here. the one that I found first, and when I reached out to you, was PT Inquest. How many of you guys have listened to PT Inquest? Yeah. So, how do you describe that show, what you and J.W. Matheson, your co-host, do there?
Yeah, so the easiest way to describe it is it's an online journal club. So we basically take an article. We do 12 weeks on, roughly. We're on air for about 3 months. We do once a week. Each week we do a different article, and we just talk about what the article says, what it doesn't say, apply it to the entire history of the literature, so it's not just one article off by itself, and then how it applies to physical therapy practice. We do it for about 3 months, and then because I feel like sticking a pen in my eye after doing it for so long, we take 3 months off, and then we're back at it again. We just started again about 3 weeks ago, and I'm already sick of pen in my eye.
So. Yeah, yeah. Plus puns. JW brings puns.
That's one of the reasons I want to stick a pen in my eye.
Yeah, he loves bringing those.
Yes.
He actually retweeted one of my puns, which is like one of those like moments where you're like, the guy with the puns? I dropped one. He retweeted it. I don't know why it's a big deal, but it's all I got going for me.
Yeah.
So on Twitter is where a lot of these things get shared. How many of the PT students, you do the Twitter thing and you kind of look in, and I don't know. People kind of go in and out of different social media platforms where they're going to find information.
Are we all on MySpace still? Is that
MySpace?
Thing?
What's your profile song?
Yeah.
It's Death Cab for Cutie. It's pretty awesome. So where can everybody find you? We'll get that out of the way, you know, super early. So what's your Twitter thing?
At Eric Mara.
With an E-R-I-K, Mara.
And an E-I.
And an E, sorry.
There's an A in there somewhere. Don't worry about it.
Google it. Don't worry about
it's fine.
And Adam, where can everybody find you?
Adam Akins.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Now,
we're not smart people.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the coolest things that Eric had ever said to me, and I wanted to bring this up, and I listened to episode 4, and I didn't catch it in there while I was driving in, was...
I called you an idiot.
You called me, yes.
Yeah.
You said, and I don't want to misquote you, but it was, you know that someone's decently intelligent or smart in the room when they say, this is what we know now, instead of this is what's true. And I remember hearing that when I was a student. I'm like, hold on a second. Everything my professors say is true, right? And you're like, well, this is what we know.
Nothing Sky says.
Nothing. No, she doesn't.
Sorry, Dr. Donovan.
Dr. Donovan. But
you're not doctors. How many times have I got to tell you that?
No, she is. She's got
a PhD in biochemistry.
Oh, so that's a problem.
Biochemistry. Yeah, 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 yeah. We'll get into that. No, I'm saving Adam. He's my closer, guys. Don't worry about it. It's my closer. But
Hold it.
But that I liked that, and I think that might have been at CSM. That might not have been on the show, but that was one thing that stuck with me, and that's what I, you know, would tell patients or when someone would ask, what's the truth? I'm like, well, this is what we know now. So I have that holstered from you, so thank you for bringing that out.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
So why do you explain where that came from, or how'd you get to that? Because that's a pretty smart thing to say.
It's a basic tenet of science, is that science never proves anything to be true. It just proves what is false. And so you're always expanding, moving forward by just basically pruning knowledge. It's not so much as gaining knowledge, so to speak. And the easy example is when you think of gravity. Gravity's been explained multiple different ways, and it's always a little closer to the truth, but it's always being revised. And nobody argues whether gravity exists, except for Adam.
Yeah, he's the only guy.
Yeah.
The online journal club, make sure, you know, with PT Inquest, something I think people always say as soon as you graduate and you leave this safe environment here at Marymount University and other schools is something you wish you had more of. So thanks for doing that. And I alluded to Twitter, and that's where a lot of really fun, positive discussions go on within the physical therapy world. And
Twitter.com.
Twitter.com, yeah. Perhaps you've heard of it. So Adam, in case you haven't followed Adam on any platform. So I did an internship. Trust me, it'll come back to you. I did an internship. When I was 19 years old, at a radio station in New York City, WXRK, K-Rock, and the morning guy was a guy by the name of Howard Stern. Anybody heard of Howard Stern? Yeah. So Howard Stern was that guy that, I think in the movie Private Parts, they said the average Howard Stern listener listens for X. And they were like, oh my God, that's pretty good. And they go, the average Howard Stern hater listens to like X plus 10. So they couldn't wait to hear what he was going to say next. So this is not a statement, this is a question. Are you the physio version of Howard Stern?
Do you know who Howard Stern is?
Yeah, he's the shock jock, isn't he?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably better looking.
Yeah,
yeah.
So. I mean, how are you going to say? The beard closes the deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hipster. Yeah, it's a bit grayer.
So we've talked before on this show. You aren't afraid of calling someone out for what they say, and you do that a lot. And we talked about kind of why you do that, but how would you explain that? You know, why do you do that?
I have a short reaction to bullshit, basically. So people think I have a short temper. I don't have a short temper. Just a very very low tolerance to bullshit. And unfortunately, our profession is riddled with a shitload of bullshit.
Best way of describing it.
They think he has a short fuse. He has no fuse.
Yes.
No fuse. Yeah. It's just...
So where do we get it wrong? You know, because, and here's why I asked if the students were on Twitter, is they're looking... Yeah, now I don't know if we have enough time for that, but they're looking and listening, and I know I was, and I remember I literally say, you know, life imitates art. My career as a student and now as a physio is literally like me kind of walking around a bar, if the bar was this profession, and kind of bumping into people and kind of saying, all right, what do you know? What do we know now with you? And if you just look at that lens through Twitter, you are in deep shit.
Yeah, well, I think that's where it's going wrong. People aren't doing that. People are too certain. We just don't recognize the uncertainty of what we do, why things hurt, and why things get better. People are just way too certain and too confident in what they do and just don't recognize that things get better due to other factors. We're not magicians. I know that may be disappointing to you, but physiotherapists aren't fucking miracle workers. You know, well, yes, and you are. You are. You are miracle workers, but just not in the way you think you are. You help people get better. But again, it's the simplistic explanation as to why, showing care, empathy, listening to people, like you said, it's that sort of skills. They're the bits that we need to recognize and empathize and work more on. It's not about the bloody latest manual therapy technique and which way you push a fucking facet joint, right? that is not important. That is the bit that just doesn't matter in physiotherapy. It doesn't matter whether you stick a dry needle in at fucking X amount of degrees or, you know, what oscillation you do. That is not the important stuff. What is important is, and again, I hate this term, the soft skills. They're not soft skills. The communication, the empathy, the listening, that is the important shit. That's what helps people get better. And we just need to recognize that more and do it better.
Yeah, people.
Yeah!
I was going to say, people who think they know everything don't learn anything.
Ooh. Not supposed to give away your parting shot this early. I like
was
that.
That it?
Well, that was pretty damn good.
Right, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, see ya. Plus heavy stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lift heavy stuff.
Yeah, load it.
And you got to lift heavy
things. Yeah, you got to load it. Yeah.
So manual therapy is one thing that has come up before in terms of a topic that you rage against the machine on. Why do so many people like to assign magical abilities to certain techniques?
You?
Me?
Me?
I was going to ask you why you hate physiotherapy.
Because I am one.
Self-loathing. Yeah.
I hate myself more than anybody.
So I wasn't listening to the question, would you?
Why do they assign so much magical abilities? You know, why are certain people? I mean, I'll throw out one possible reason is they're tied to it financially.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. Vested interests. You know, people are earning a lot of money peddling the bullshit.
So teaching a course.
Yeah,
and
like
you're
we're
saying,
doing.
You guys are here teaching a course. And by the way, the website to get on that course is thesciencept.com. But your course is literally it's. You know, the shoulder complex is not that complex. That's one thing that you guys say, but the financial interest is probably one of those things that's probably not brought up on why, you know, one thing, you know, this kung fu is not necessarily kung fu. It's just, it's right. A course.
Well, it's also that humans really enjoy magic.
I know
so
I do.
Whenever there's any sort of uncertainty, people like to put certainty into it. And the more that they can give a narrative that tells a story, the more they like it. And so when there's room for the feel-good story, it will fill into those blanks. And so the magic hands, the healer type archetype is something that's very strongly embedded in a lot of people, specifically those that go into healthcare. So that's not a bad thing at all. I mean, wanting to help other people, but it, as like a making yourself the healer as opposed to the person who is enabling somebody to heal themselves, is a big dichotomy there.
Yeah. So what does heal people?
Adam Eakins.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, my magical powers.
So
yeah.
when you are explaining this to a patient and you work in the UK, what city are you in?
London.
London, I've heard
you
of
know,
it.
London.
Good. How do you explain that? Because you said, you know, communication and explaining and listening probably first. What do you explain? How do you explain what makes you better?
Well, we got to recognize is that humans have evolved over hundreds of thousands of years, and the body has done a very good job at getting itself back to square one again. It just needs a push and a shove in the right direction, and that's basically what we're here for. We help to guide people and let the natural processes of time and plasticity and regeneration that the human evolution system has done a remarkably good job at doing itself without our intervention, do its job.
Yeah, I like that. What do you think?
I don't think.
Okay, good.
No, it's as Adam was saying, you know, the human organism is an extremely complex thing, and it's way smarter than we will ever be. And so a lot of what we try to do is try to find where is it, you know, quote unquote, misfiring, and just trying to support it in certain ways, give it a little bit of stimulus to get it to adapt. And, you know, I'm a big fan specifically, you know, as physical therapists, you know, I like to say that load is our hammer. It's the tool that we use. We apply load into an organism. I don't like to use terms like strengthening and things like that. It's we apply load. We have them work against load. We let that organism adapt to the load in the way that it sees fit. If it's driving in a direction that we know to be bad, which we're pretty good at knowing what's really bad, everything else falls in the category of kind of good. And so as long as it's not way over here, you're just trying to kind of nudge it back to that and let the organism figure out what's best for it. I work a lot with like high level athletes is kind of my specialty in sports medicine. And to for me to get involved with what a high level organism like that has accomplished on its own is extremely arrogant and stupid in my mind.
Wow. Yeah. Black Diamond Physical Therapy in Oregon, Portland. Okay.
Yep.
And you were athletic trainer in Florida.
I was studying to be an athletic trainer at the University of Florida. I worked football. First year they won the national title. You're welcome.
No bragging.
And then it was the way I handed the water out. And actually, it was the way they all rallied around that really nerdy athletic trainer student. But yeah. Yeah. And then actually, my first job was in TBI here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, in Georgetown.
George Washington,
yeah. Sorry. So research is something you're obviously passionate about.
Yes.
With PT Inquest, but also because you were a SIG chair, mm-hmm. with the hip section, the founder of the hip section within the APTA, within the sports section. Adam, obviously, you big into evidence-based. If the evidence doesn't say it, don't do it. How do you sort out, and this you guys can both answer this separately if you want, but how do you sort out what's good versus what's bad? Because I feel like a lot of Twitter people, and you've called people out on this on Twitter, people will find research that fits their narrative. They'll say, I'm over here to prove something, which we know don't do in science. And then they'll find an article, they'll Google an article, go to Dr. Google, find an article, post it, and be like, well, I'm done. That's going to make my argument for me. So how do you do that? What's some advice to be an educated consumer of scientific literature?
Well, the first thing is to understand what the goal of science is, which is to find objective truth. And you can contrast that with subjective truth. So subjective truth would be what is true to you, true to your world, true to your reality, your upbringing, your socioeconomic background, your orientation, all these things that make you who you are culturally and everything else. Those are your own realities. Objective truths are independent of those things. So the example I always give is whether or not the earth goes around the sun. You know, that would be an objective truth. And so when one piece of literature comes out that points one direction, we have to remember that that has to be taken in the into the context of all the other literature that's been published before it. It's only adding a very small puzzle piece. The way science works is because it's always doing that falsification dance. Every single study can only answer a very small question when they're done properly. And so it's a very slow build of all of that. It's like building a puzzle and you have no idea what the image is going to be, but each little piece tells you a little bit more. And to think that one piece is going to tell you everything is just ridiculous. And that's what we see people do all the time is they'll take an article and they'll say, this proves everything for me. And if one article proves everything and changes everything for you, it's because you only read one article.
Mic drop up in there. Good luck following that one.
Yeah, the only other thing I'd probably add is that whenever you read a paper is look at the authors and ask yourself, why is this author trying to answer this question? What's their motive? What's their driver? And again, you know, bias is a bitch when it comes to research. It will find its way in objectively or subjectively. You can find people, as I say, are driven by bias because of other incentives, but otherwise it's sometimes a sneaky little bugger. And biases can, say, work its way into research. So always ask yourself the question, you know, why is this person trying to ask this question? Where is their interest coming from? Where is their finance coming from for this? What is their motive for doing this?
And I would say the best way you can analyze an article, because people get all worked up of, well, I don't
read
know if
the...
Yeah, just read the abstract. That's good. I don't know how to analyze this. I don't know if the kappa value is appropriate. What's their confidence interval? And they just get lost and they just can't read the science quite so well. It doesn't have to be that hard. All you have to do is ask yourself the simple question of how else can I explain these findings? That's it. So that's the process of critical thinking. So when you see findings, your gut's going to go one place and going to say, that's the explanation. Step back for a second and think, how else could I explain those findings in another way? Let it be your idea as well, because everybody treats their own idea as the most precious, and it's the one they'll defend to their grave almost. And you really want to just come up with as many different ideas as you can and all those different ways of explaining it. A good research article will have anticipated your alternative explanations and will have controlled for that. If they didn't, you'll start to see, I can't really draw very much of a conclusion at all from this paper.
Wow. I got to start doing that. Yeah. Immediately.
Like right now. I'll
like
get
right,
you a paper.
Right now. Give me a paper.
I happen to have three on me.
Thank God. So you work for, you have your own clinic, Black Diamond, in Oregon. What, I know you work in London, but what's your setting like? Like, do you work with other physios? Like, what's your office like?
What
like,
do you do?
What
Adam?
Do you do?
I try to do as little as I possibly
good.
Can.
Smart man. Look at me. I host podcasts for a living. I mean, good luck trying to beat that.
Adam just Twitters all day.
Yeah.
I am a clinician. I work pretty much 50-50 in the National Health Service. In the UK, as well as in private practice. I do 40 hours of clinic. I see between 40 and 60 patients a week. And my NHS role is a sort of extended scope practitioner role, which is basically a cheap orthopedic consultant. The NHS have realized if you train a physiotherapist up to a certain level, give them certain privileges and rights that the consultant can have, you tend to get better patient outcomes and don't have to pay them as much either.
Cheap. Smart.
So that's my role 2 days a week, and then I work as a standard physiotherapist in private practice. I'm a clinical lead for a team of 15 physiotherapists.
Do you get to interact with students in your roles at your own clinic or yeah?
Yep. Yeah. So in the private practice and in NHS, I have students.
Eric, do you guys take students at your clinic?
Yeah, different levels of students. Usually a couple a year.
Yeah. How do you spot a good student?
Ooh. One who buys me beer.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah, that's a good
one. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Write that down.
One that asks questions well is typically the first thing. What bothers me actually the most about students is when they just try to mimic the way I practice.
Yeah.
Which is probably what's the most common thing. And so my point is to I want them to explore and to think and to move from that. And so whenever they'll, for example, prescribe an exercise, I'll say, well, why did you pick that exercise? What was your reasoning process behind that exercise? Well, because I just know that exercise off the shelf. Well, what does that exercise do? Well, it's going to strengthen their, well, what else is it going to do? What is it going to do to their nervous system? What's it going to do to their endocrine system? What's it going to do to their psychology? All these things that applying something like that would be. And why'd you choose that manual therapy strategy? You're not supposed to do that here.
Right. And I thought you were going to go with, if you ask why'd you pick that exercise, I thought that's, I saw you and I figured you would do that.
I thought that's what you wanted me to do.
Also, yeah, it's a bad answer.
Yeah. Correct.
Right. But I know, I mean, I graduated 2 years ago. Sometimes you do that, right? I mean, I don't know. Do you guys do that too? I did. I mean, I'll speak, you know, from an N of one. Like, I did it because I guess I didn't know any better, but, yeah. You know, I was scared, man. You guys can be scary.
Yeah, I think that's the problem is that the system that we work in is very hierarchical. And again, that sort of ability to question the senior isn't well tolerated.
Right.
You know, you get these knobheads who get all uptight and get their panties in a bunch whenever somebody questions them. And it's like, fucking hell, you know, it's just a question, you know, it's nothing for you to...
You know, fuck is a bad word here, right?
Is it?
Yes.
Sorry. Well, I was hoping that because I'm speaking, you know, London, you lot wouldn't understand me anyway.
I got slag off and knobhead to look up after this one, too.
That's right.
I know what the F word means. Don't worry about that. We got that over here, too.
Yeah. Well, I remember that when I was coming out 20 years ago, there was research that had shown that the way that a new graduate practices is most like their last CI. So the last CI they practice under, that's what they're going to practice like. And I remember our professors telling us that as we were graduating, because the professor's like, no, you're supposed to practice like me.
yeah.
And but that's the thing. And so the way I see it is, and let me know if I'm wrong. When you're at a clinical, typically what you do is you take the template of how that clinician practices and then you just apply that. And so whatever you're most comfortable with is that last template that you're using. And so that's where you have to try to think beyond the template. What I often will tell my students is 5 years from now, I'm not going to be practicing the way I am right now. So I hope you won't be either. That's something that needs to be changing. So if I've done my job right as a clinical instructor, I've taught you how to progress yourself, not how to practice like I do. I actually don't care if they're practicing like I do at the end. It's, are they reasoning their way through it? If they reason through it properly and are doing something different than what I would have done, that's actually fine.
Yeah, you've done your job then as a, exactly. as a CA. That's yeah. great. All right, you guys ready for parting shots? I know you got a couple beers in your hand, so parting shots.
This is The Parting Shot.
Brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offers continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding student internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what the IHL can do for you and support your professional development. Go to brooksihl.org.
Who wants to go first? Parting shot
Adam
of wisdom.
Does. Adam does.
What,
no.
What's your mic drop statement? What's the one thing you want to leave with the audience at the end of the show?
Load it.
That's it. Dump yeah.
stolen your funding.
Always be asking yourself what else could be at play.
Love it. Adam Meekins, Eric Mara, thank you guys for coming out.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Like what you hear? Tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes or Google Play.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with the APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right, there's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practice regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at ptoutcomes.com/go.
That's ptoutcomes.com/go.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
The show is brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing. Quite simply, I could talk on and on about Aureus, and I do on the show, because they've supported us from the start. But what Aureus does is they find you a job wherever you want to go. They've got placements, jobs for PTs in all 50 states. That's how many there are, right? 50? Right. 50 states in all settings. So where do you want to go? Check out where their jobs are. Talk to a recruiter. And again, want to make sure you know, this doesn't cost you, the PT, anything. All right. You just get to go do the thing you want to do. Treat patients where you want to do it and get paid for it. Aureus is just the person to make that happen. AureusMedical.com. That is where you can find them. Talk to a recruiter there. Paid travel and housing. Benefits go with it. Again, positions in all 50 states. A variety of settings. Go here, try this. Don't like the area? Go somewhere else. Short and long-term assignments. Even Con Ed money. You can travel from position to position or take some time off in between. Listen, you put a lot of work into becoming a physical therapist. Do it on your terms now. Travel the country, getting paid to be a PT. AureusMedical.com.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
Final guest, want to thank you guys for coming out too. Thank you. Look at all the students. One of the, I won't say who, but somebody said, how'd you get all these students to show up here on like the weekend? I was like, well, we lied and told them there was extra credit. And beer. They didn't have any. Introduce yourselves. One of my colleagues from Fox Rehabilitation, Ashley, say hi.
Hi, I'm Ashley Knight.
Everybody say hi. Ashley, what do you do?
I am a physical therapist.
Nice. Me too.
Awesome.
We work together at a practice, Fox Rehabilitation, and it's a little bit different.
Yes.
It's different because we don't really have any buildings.
No.
We kind of work remotely, work with older adults, and people often get confused. They think we're in home care.
Yes.
Why are we not in home care?
Because our clients, our patients, do not have to be homebound. They are still very independent. They are able to go and do with things that maybe there used to be harder than it is now, but they're still an active part of their community. And another piece that makes us different, the skilled nursing part is not involved. So it's strictly PT, OT, speech.
Got it. Why'd you decide to work with older adults? What about that population said, yeah?
That's a good question.
Thank you. I asked you professionally.
So really personally, one of the biggest people in my life is my granddad. And he fell and broke his hip when he was in his early 70s. And the outcomes for when you break your hip are not good.
Yeah.
It falls. And it's something like, and it could have changed by now, but 70% of older adults who fall and break their hip are not alive in the next 5 years. That's huge. That's a big deal to me. So that kind of drove me to go towards older adults and say, let's change that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Mississippi.
Yeah. I just actually a little Mississippi. I just actually a little bit. But you work here in Northern Virginia,
yes,
as well. Where'd you go to PT school?
I went to PT school in Tennessee.
Nice.
Tennessee State.
Cool. Yeah. And so we wanted to bring you in because, when did you graduate?
2016.
So very, me and you, sweet 16. Nice. Wanted to bring you in to talk about something that kind of related to the audience in the room, but also out on the show is students. What do we want to talk about today?
We were going to talk about tips to navigating your first job and finding the right first job.
So Black Diamond Physical Therapy in Oregon, maybe one, or maybe you want to go across the pond, who knows?
Right.
But really, I wanted to talk about this topic because you've just graduated 2 years ago, mm-hmm. so you're young enough where they'll actually listen to you, and sometimes they kind of ignore people who've been out for a while, don't know why. What would you tell new grads about finding the job? Because you can get a job anywhere, right? I mean, you have a license, they're looking for PTs. So what would you tell a new grad about finding that first job?
So there are kind of three things that I really considered when finding a first job, and I think they're very important. The first one is mentorship. I'll go through all three. But mentorship, the second one is professional and personal growth. And the third one was finding the right setting. So I'll talk about a little of those. For mentorship, that's huge.
But that word gets thrown around a lot.
Yes.
It's like a buzzword.
It is. And you hear it all through PT school. Oh, you want a mentor. What does that mean? Take your last clinical or all of your clinicals. You have someone standing right beside you. Or maybe they're not right beside you. They're in the room. You can ask them a question whenever you want to. They're going to review your documentation at the end of the day. Because it's their license on the line and it has to look good. Okay, but now you're in the real world. Here's 10 patients on your first day. Good luck. Who are you going to ask questions to? Who's going to...
Not Adam. Or Eric, because he'll just say, figure it out. Like, why would you do that? But that's important because you don't want to now just take that last template and keep copying that because that's all you have to cling on to.
Right.
And that's why I always like to end with something that's really applicable to students because I think it's important to start off that way. So the mentorship is first. Mm-hmm. Find someone who's going to be there for the right reasons in the right ways.
Exactly.
Is what I think you're... I mean, that's what I would suggest.
Yes.
Second thing.
The second thing was professional and personal growth. You don't know everything. You're never going to know everything. That's the beauty of it. But you want a company who is going to ensure that you are growing professionally. You're attending your CEU courses. You're getting the right support in being able to ask questions or research articles, book clubs, journal clubs, things
podcasts
like that.
Podcasts about articles.
Podcasts, whatever floats your boat.
And I would say to figure that out, because that's going to be on the brochure everywhere. Ask questions to figure that out. I always say, like, I am a professional interviewer. I ask people questions for a living. A job interview is not one-sided. It's two ways. Mm-hmm. Make sure you are probing. Be that person that stands out in a way that says, I'm going to question you and question you and question you to see if this is right for me. Because taking a first job that sucks for a while.
Absolutely.
All right, third thing.
The third thing was to find a setting that you like. So during PT school, you've gone through 3, 4, 5, however many different clinicals in different settings. Really reflect on those and see what interests you. Don't take a job because it pays more than this job.
Yeah, don't do that.
You're going to be miserable. In a year, you're going to be looking for something else. You're going to be complaining. And then that affects your personal and your professional growth.
And your patience.
And your patience.
And that's the worst thing to affect
us
right there. Ashley, love bringing on the new grads to talk to the students here and in the audience. Let's hear it for Ashley for dropping that. I want to thank you guys for coming out. We've got Craft House is coming up. Let's hear it for the staff and the faculty here at Marymount University. And for you guys coming out on a Saturday, or if you're taking Adam and Eric's course, you got to be up early tomorrow morning to do, I think, handstand push-ups is Yeah, it's your day off tomorrow. Eric's on stage. Thank you, guys.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.